Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you this week from the Five Freedom Retreat at the Plateran Hotel and Resort in Ubud, Bali, Indonesia. I am your host, Mark Troutman. This educational, personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. Hey, everybody. I am here at the Five Freedom Retreat in Bali, where we have just concluded a wonderful five-day event hosted by Amy Minkley. We had a lovely group of over 50 participants from around the world, including my guests here today, who conducted exceptional presentations and workshops at the retreat. And I just wanted to share this with everybody because I was so moved by your conversations, and I think it was so valuable for everyone who was here. And I also was able to co-host a podcast with Brad Barrett from Choose FI, so you will hear that on a future episode, so stay tuned for that in the future. This podcast has always been about discussing whatever is top of mind. I literally record these the day I release them. So this will likely come out this week. So for you all, awesome. You may be able to hear this on your way home, wherever that is. The topics that I usually choose are just whatever inspired me that week. And you guys certainly inspired me to have this conversation with you. So I really appreciate you sitting down and doing that. I wanted to have the three of you on to discuss the presentations you gave that truly inspired and I think really resonated with people here, because I heard a lot of great feedback from everybody on them. It inspired me. I was here last year and I didn't realize at the time how much has changed in my life in the meantime. And I know that what you guys talked about with everyone's going to have a dramatic impact on them going forward. So first, why don't you give us a brief introduction to who you are? I'll start with the fabulous duo, dynamic duo on my left here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came here?
Yeah, I'm Alan Donegan. I ran Rebel Business School for many years, helping people build businesses. And then my wife, Katie, and I built Rebel Finance School together, teaching people to sort their finances out. And then we actually realized that finances aren't always the blocker to people living the life they want to lead. So we've started to talk about how do you actually create an extraordinary life.
Yeah, and the phrase that really inspired Alan was the extraordinary belongs to those that create it. So we got to thinking, well, how do we do that for ourselves and how can we help other people do that as well? So at the retreat here, we did a workshop about identity and how what you believe about yourself and what you believe about you in the world and how you show up can have a dramatic impact on the quality of your life. And sometimes we have visions of how we want our life to be that our identities don't match. And we talked about how to get those two to align.
Awesome. And we're definitely going to dive into that a little bit. And Rachel, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm Rachel Richards, also known as Money Honey Rachel online. So in the FI world, I teach about real estate investing. I was able to retire at age 27 through real estate. And now I'm retired and I travel and I foster golden retrievers and I hike and I lift weights and I meet a lot of cool people like you guys. So thank you.
Yeah. I want to dive in a little bit because you guys had two discussions. The first one was about the power of identity. The extraordinary belongs to those who create it, as you just mentioned. And is your identity aligned with your vision for life? So let's talk a little bit about that. And I'd love for you to expand on that a little bit. And also, I love the image that you gave of talking about creating the future you and how to do that. So why don't you give us a little insight into what that conversation was about.
So I think it's incredible how often we speak to people that are stopped from creating the life they want to live by an identity. So there was a lady I had on my podcast that I coached that said, I want to build a business, but I am the furthest thing possible from a business person. And I am not a salesperson. So her identity did not back up her goals. And it's the person who says, I want to be healthy, but there's no possible way to lose weight. And it's amazing when you're talking about money goals, the future you want, how our identities trap us and stop us actually getting to the life or the vision we need. And most of us have never consciously chosen our identities. They were handed to us by parents, school teachers, all those kind of people. So that was the first session, was who are you? And did you choose to be that person, or were you just handed that identity?
And Katie, you have something to add to that? Because I know you're the life of the party.
Is that my identity? That's my cool identity.
That's a cool identity.
And I also know you like to count steps.
I do. I think it was fascinating for me to do this exercise for myself as well and go, oh, interesting. What came up for me when I started filling in the blank of I am or I always? And there's some things that came up that I don't like, that I want to change. I feel like I can be very judgmental and I want to switch that to being more curious. And it was very interesting as well to do, once I had my list of who I am, to then say, well, which of those did I consciously choose and which did I not choose? And for me, that was very insightful to look at that list and then realize as well that just because I didn't choose them, because I had a strong influence from my family to be sporty and athletic, to be musical and to count everything. My mum would be walking along, she'd be like, okay, let's count how many steps we're going up here. And my dad would count out how many grapes he gave me for my afternoon snack. I didn't choose those, but I fully embraced that as part of my personality now. So I'd encourage people listening to do that exercise for yourself and to think, what did I and did I not choose? Just because I didn't choose it, do I want to keep it? Yes or no? The bits that I did choose, am I still happy with those? And it's something that I think identity is something that we often try and stay extremely consistent with, to the detriment of our well-being and to where we want to go. Is it time to shed some of those identities that you have about yourself? That, I don't know, I'm a shy person, I don't like talking to people. Is it time to shift that and start to look for different reasons that might say the opposite? It's like, well, I've been this way up until now. How might I learn to be a different way? It's not part of who I am. It's part of who I have been or how I have behaved in the world.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. You talked about, I think many people in this community are introverts, and I would associate myself as an introvert. But I love the idea of talking about, are you an introvert and you just firmly believe that's what you have to be, as opposed to saying, yeah, maybe I'm introverted, but, and fill in the blank, you know, I want to change and I want to aim for who I want to be, as opposed to saying, well, this is who I am and therefore that's what I must be. I thought that was a very interesting discussion that we had.
Yeah, the introverted thing is so strong in our community, and it is a solid belief that I am introverted. But I find it interesting because one of the definitions of introverted is people take away your energy and you have to go and sit on your own to recharge. Or extroverted is you go to people to get recharged. In my experience, there are some people that lift me up and there are some people that drain the energy right from me. So it's less to do with me as a person and more to do with who I'm surrounded with. And I'd be interested to know, the audience, who lifts you up and who drains your energy? And is it you or is it the other people? Mm. And if you haven't found someone that you get more energy being around yet, you haven't found the right people. I don't think it's necessarily an identity. You can be extroverted around the right people. And how many people come here and go, I'm an introvert, and then don't shut up for 5 days?
Right. And that's what I find in this community. It's so true, because you come to these events and it's almost like literally everyone's an introvert, and they're like, at home, I don't talk to people, I don't really get outside my comfort circle. And then you see this group of people and you're like, how is it that all these people that are coming together and hanging out and having discussions into the wee hours in the morning are introverts? It just doesn't make sense. So maybe, like I said, it's just finding your tribe and becoming the extrovert within a community that you're comfortable with. And even for me, I previously would have associated myself with being an introvert, but doing something outside of my comfort zone, like this podcast, is something that I'm helping myself become more extrovert, or, like I said, less introvert, maybe is the best way to put it. So, Rachel, I really enjoyed your conversation, and you titled it The Hypothesis for Happiness. And you talked about self-esteem, self-confidence, self-love. Can you give us a little bit of the backstory, your backstory, and also why you chose to do this presentation as opposed to what you may be known for more as Money, Hun, and Rachel?
Yes, thank you. This is the first presentation I gave that was not about real estate investing. So it was actually very refreshing and fun for me. But it all came about because the last couple of years, I've had major life transitions. So 2 years ago, I got divorced. Last year, I shut down my business, which was such an enormous part of my identity and my life. And because of those two losses, I guess is one way you could look at it, I was not doing well. It was just hard to cope. It was hard to figure out who I was and how to be happy again without all those things that defined me. So I've done a lot of work with therapy and reflection and journaling, and I feel the happiest I've ever felt in my life. So I felt it would be cool to share some of the things I learned with a broader audience, and I'm really happy that it was received so well.
Yeah, and a couple of the things that kind of stood out to me were you had mentioned when you were first starting your business or your book, you were worried about, would anyone read it? And you said, if I just reach one person, that's all that really matters. And I feel that myself with things like this podcast or whenever I'm talking to somebody, I feel like if I can help one person individually, that's all that really matters. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that in any way?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I've written two books, and my first one, Money, Honey, I self-published in 2017, but it was something that was extremely scary and vulnerable for me, and I quit writing it halfway through and just quit for 4 months, and I had no intention of picking it back up again because I had all these imposter syndrome thoughts, like, who am I to write about finance? Who's going to listen to me? I'm no J.L. Collins or Scott Trench or whoever it may be. So I had to take a step back from it. And then I started thinking about it. And really, it came down to if I can just help one person, it will be worth it to me. I've already written the book. I was scared to publish it. So I was like, if just one person is somehow impacted by this, I'll be very happy with that. I didn't set out to start an IG and gain a ton of followers or make a ton of money from these books. It was just really a passion project and I wanted to help people. And I think I got caught up, and a lot of us get caught up with, oh, well, I need to make a big impact. Maybe it's not worth it to publish my book unless I have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people read it and leave reviews. But my whole thing was all it takes is one for it to matter. And isn't that one person enough? So I think instead of asking ourselves, what if I do this and it's embarrassing? What if I do this and fail? What if I do this and I don't make a ton of money and I don't reach a bunch of people? It's not really being fair to yourself or to the people that you might reach. So instead, you can ask yourself, well, what if I don't do this? What if I don't do this and this one person is going to keep struggling because I was too scared? I was too afraid and to be vulnerable and put my stuff out there, because changing one person's life is huge. And so the point of that was that you don't need to make a big impact to make a good impact. It doesn't need to be quantified. I make an impact and all of us make an impact in this world simply by existing because we are kind and generous and loving people. And even just smiling at a stranger, you don't know the impact that could make to their day. So it's not about 1,000 followers or 10,000 subscribers or whatever it may be. It's just by existing as yourself. You are worthy and you belong here.
And there were two other things that I wrote down when you were talking about a sense of security and self-confidence. And the two things I wrote down were picking the right partner, which I thought was very insightful because I think Warren Buffett has said that's probably the most important decision you can make in your life. And I would agree 100%. And I'd be curious as to your thoughts on that. And then you also mentioned the power of financial independence. And it gave me some reflection on my circumstances of reaching financial independence and being able to be there for my father when he was in hospice and take care of my wife when she was in cancer treatment for 2 years without concern of my job or money. And I was wondering if you wanted to expand on either of those two.
Yeah, I think having a sense of security and safety in the world is so important, and it really can add to your happiness. So the two things that impact my sense of security are the person I'm with romantically and my finances. And I've just learned, because I've been married, I'm divorced now, I'm single, that the person you're with can either bring you up so much or can really negatively influence you and really bring you down. So you have to be so careful because it is exponential. So that's one thing. And then creating financial security is so important. And I know that in the FI community, whenever I ask people, hey, why do you want to achieve FI? A lot of people say, I want to travel the world. I want to have freedom. I want to be able to quit my job. I want to be able to have time with my kids. And those are all great motivators. So those are excellent. And I used to look at it that way too. I wanted to quit my job and travel the world. What I realized when I got divorced in 2022. And the first thing I did was go out of the country and go to Italy. So I had my own little eat, pray, love journey. But I think about the privilege of being able to drop everything and flee and run away and escape and just break down in another country. And all I had to worry about was surviving each day, which was a lot at the time. The privilege to be able to do that was enormous. I feel so blessed that I just can't imagine when I think about that time, having to go into a 9-to-5 job every day, having bills to worry about or a boss that I had to report back to or any of those kinds of responsibilities. I truly cannot fathom how I would have made it through that time. And it gives me like chills to talk about. I think that financial security can be your biggest blessing during the darkest time of your life. And no one is going to escape life without massive suffering and pain. Nobody. So in my opinion, achieving FI is so much more than the fun, exciting things like travel and quitting your job. I truly think that it can and will save your life when you get to that dark time.
And I think, as I recall, you gave us some journaling prompts, correct?
Yeah.
And it was great here. So we had these, you did presentations, but then we had these active exercises, which I really appreciated. And I'm just going to mention these journaling prompts. And then if you want to jump in on these after I go through them on any one thing, because I don't want to take up a ton of time here on the podcast, but I want you to think about these and maybe go home or sit down and go through these, because this is some of the exercises that we were doing here. And they were, where does your happiness come from right now? Is it tied to the wrong things? Will it go away if you lose someone you love, if you fail, if you close down your business, if you go through a divorce, if you have kids? And that was one that I highlighted for myself because I did lose someone I love and I am still working on that. So that was something that I highlighted and wanted to journal on. Are you accidentally happy and fulfilled right now because of the nature of what you do for work or from your relationships? When accountability and motivation go away, who are you as a person and how do you show up for yourself? Is there anything you want to highlight in there?
Yeah, I'd love to. Part of the point of my speech, because there was an alternate title, it was a very long title, and it was why walking away from my $600,000 a year business was the best and worst decision I've ever made in my life. So I realized in the last couple of years and all these life transitions that I was accidentally happy before. I was accidentally happy because in my business, I was making a huge impact and I was getting DMs and emails and all these people. And so that lifted me up. I was accidentally happy because I was relying on external validation and feeling like, oh, I'm cool enough and popular enough and I've achieved enough things to have these cool friends or to maybe rub elbows with these cool people. I lost my sense of self-discipline and I stopped taking care of myself after I quit my business. And so I lost all that when the business shut down. I didn't have all that external validation. So I realized I was getting happiness through achievements and through others and through my business and through my work instead of who I was as a person. So I was confident in the things I could do. I had high self-confidence, but I was not confident in who I was as a person. I did not feel worthy. I had very low self-esteem. So through that, because I'm looking at the question, are you accidentally happy and fulfilled right now because of the nature of what you do for work or from your relationships? I realized happiness has to come from within. There was a lot of inner work that had to be done. And I had to start asking myself, how can I treat myself like someone I love? Am I showing up for myself? Am I following through on the promises I make to myself? Even something like, oh, it's really important that I'm healthy and fit and that I value healthy and fitness. and I want to go to the gym tomorrow. Well, am I following through on that or am I just blowing it off? I just really had to learn how to show up for myself and build that trust for myself and inner self-love. And I've come a long way and I'm not perfect. So there's a lot of this that I still want to work on, but I hope it helps others.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving this presentation as opposed to just a real estate, not just a real estate presentation, but I know you want to move away from that.
Yes,
and
thank
this
you.
And to me is so much more important.
Thank
so
you.
I really
I'm
appreciate
so glad.
That you did that.
Thanks.
And then I want to get back to Alan and Katie for a moment because you had a second presentation on the second day or third day. I'm not even sure how many days.
Who knows
been
what
here.
Day it is?
Right. I was like, is it a 5-day event? Is it a 4-day event? All I know is it started in the afternoon on one day, and on day 5 in the middle of the day, we've ended. So maybe it's a 4-day event. Maybe it's a 5-day event. But you were expanding on the creating extraordinary, and you were talking about 9 different life areas. And I'm just going to go through these: love and relationships, finances, career, business, or mission, physical environment, friends and family, fun, adventure, and passion, health and wellness, personal growth and development, and spirituality. And you also said, write your vision in the present tense as if it already exists. And I thought that was wonderful. It's instead of saying, I'm going to do better at, you said, write it as if you're doing it now. Do you want to talk a little bit about that concept and also the life areas and the purpose of having these different kind of conversations and journaling with yourself?
Yeah.
So the reason for writing it in the present tense as if it's already true is because, well, what's the alternative? You write, I'm going to, or I want.
We'll start next month.
Yeah. If you keep writing, I want, or saying to yourself, I want, you're going to generate a state of wanting rather than focusing on the thing itself. So we talk as well about having really juicy language in the way that you think about what you want. So you would say something. So rather than saying something like, I want to have a healthy body and feel good in the morning. Like, yeah, okay. But if you go, I wake up and I crackle with energy and I jump out of bed and I feel really vibrant and alive and I can't wait to jump on the day, you can feel how that is much more uplifting, much more something that you are pulled towards rather than almost this duty that you had in the first example. So by saying it as if it already exists, it's training your brain. That's something that you have, and it makes it much easier to move towards it and to feel like it's part of you.
Sometimes when people do that, their brain revolts against it. I am healthy. And your brain goes, no, you're not, fatty. So you have to be careful with your brain. So we have these little sayings of like, I'm beginning to crackle with energy, or I'm learning to live vibrantly. And you can have these bridging terms that allow you to go, you're on the journey, you're progressing towards it. And then you asked the question about the life areas. What we've learned is, if I stare at you and go, what do you want, Mark? Like, that's an overwhelming question.
Yeah,
because you're like,
too much information, right?
Yeah. So if you break it down into areas and go, how do you want your living environment to be? How would you like your energy to be? How would you like your finance to be? That's the easy one. Everyone on the podcast,
yes.
They'll all go, yes, I know I've got my FI target of 1 million invested. Right. I'm 42% of the way there. Right. They'll know exactly, right. But that's why they achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't we doing the same in every area?
Good point, yeah.
So if we can go in the area of health or in the area of friends and family, how does that work? Like, once a week, I have pizza with the most incredible friends. We play board games, or whatever the description of your vision is. You can't hit a goal you can't see. So if we can help to have some kind of vision of where we're heading, then we can take action on a daily basis to get it. And your chances of living the life you actually want to lead are exponentially increased.
And first of all, I love your energy, both of you. And it really helped with bringing out the best in us. So I really appreciate that. I did see you at Economy on the stage, and you did a phenomenal presentation.
That was fun.
So I will link to that in the show notes so people can see that. And you did one too as well many years ago, right?
Yeah, a couple of years ago at Economy.
Is it okay if I link to that? Or you
yeah,
don't
absolutely.
Want me to do that? I know you're trying. Okay, well, we'll put that in there. So one of the exercises we did was we had these different life areas and different prompts and different suggestions on how you might start your discussion. And one of the things you mentioned, there were these nine areas. They were scattered around the room. There was a piece of paper, which I'll put in the show notes so you can see all of these and the prompts. And you suggested we go to the areas that we were least comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was like, I know I need to do that. And I was glad that you pushed us to do that. Because, of course, I'd be like, I'll just go to the finances one and see what it says. Or I'll go to the easy button just because I feel like I can get an A.
So I'm curious, Mark, which those areas were that you...
So for me, it was love and relationships, physical environment, because I just moved and I have bought a house and I gave away everything I had. So literally, I'm starting from scratch. So that was where I spent most of my time. Like, how do I want these rooms to look? What's going to make me feel comfortable? What will it sound like, look like, smell like? And those were things I hadn't even really thought about. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go home, buy some furniture. But I was like, this really gave me an option to sit down and really think about it instead of just saying, I need a couch, I need a rug, I need a bed, you know? So I appreciate that. Friends and family was one, and health and wellness was the four. But I am definitely going to work through all nine of those. I really appreciate you giving us the ability and the prompts to do that, because I think that's very beneficial for everyone to do all of the nine areas.
I love that. And if I could say one thing to the audience, everything you want in life is outside your comfort zone. Otherwise, you'd already have it. If it was easy, like Mark's finances are easy, I'll just go over there. He's figured that one out. If it was easy for you to get it, you would have already done it. By definition, you have to become uncomfortable to get to where you want to get to. So our new theory is, let's celebrate discomfort as a sign that we're making progress.
And yeah, and I had breakfast with Nick. Did you guys do the dancing this morning with
yes,
him?
Yes, it
you
was
did?
Awesome. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. I did not get up early enough to do it. And I wish I did. But I had breakfast with him, and he's a wonderful individual. It was just so amazing. And what was interesting is he was telling his story, and I was like, wow, this is a lot of what we talked about while we're here. But he talked about doing, I think it was one uncomfortable thing. I forget if it was per month or per week or what have you. And at the end of this event, we all sat around and we talked about one degree of change, which I love, the idea of a sailboat in the ocean, or some people use the plane analogy. If you want to get somewhere else very distant, if you just change one degree, you're going to end up in a very far place away from where you originally were aiming. So that was what we did around the circle. But a lot of people said, what was the one thing they wanted to do in the next week? I think five or six people.
So let's get uncomfortable.
Let's get uncomfortable. Yeah. So I was thinking a lot about that. So I may have to figure out some more uncomfortable things to do.
Let's get uncomfortable together, Mark.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
How to make Mark uncomfortable.
Do you guys have any ideas on how you're going to get uncomfortable with something? Anything top of mind?
Nothing comes to mind, but I also was inspired by that as well. And I think we get trapped, don't we, in doing things that we feel comfortable doing. It feels good. It feels good to do things that you're already good at, that you know makes an impact. Yeah, it's something that inspired me as well. I need to sit down and think or look for inspiration online as to what these things might be. I'm sure Alan has some ideas for me.
It's our latest project.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I going to tell everyone? Creating a music album? That is way outside my comfort zone.
That's what Brandon, the scientist, did.
Yeah. He can help create the music. Someone still has to dance, move, do stuff. That is way outside my comfort zone.
So is it music that you want to do? Or create music and create an
album? We are producing an album.
Producing. What is the difference between producing and creating?
I am not singing.
Okay.
No one wants that, Mark.
Okay.
It's
okay.
I want that.
Yeah. I would like that. That's a leap to say that no one wants that.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to get to the top of the Billboard charts, talk to Brandon about how to game the system.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Alan,
we own his album.
Alan, you did sing on our wedding day.
I did.
Aww.
Because I was a professional speaker for 10 years. That's what I did. And I felt giving a wedding speech was inside my comfort zone. So I thought, how can I do something different that shows Katie I really care? Mm-hmm. And the thing that was most outside my comfort zone was singing. So I chose one of my favorite songs, which is Jack Johnson's Is Always Better When We're Together. I rewrote the lyrics and learned to sing it, and I performed it. And yeah, it's a bit uncomfortable watching back the video, but I did. It was way outside my comfort zone.
So sweet.
Yeah, in front of like 150 people.
How about you, Rachel? Any outside the comfort zone ideas for you?
I went to yoga a few days ago for the first time. I have to say I was very physically uncomfortable. It was very hard.
Was it at the yoga bar or was
it
here?
Over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same. I did the same thing.
I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I'll have to think about what else I can do though. This week. I'm open to ideas.
Okay, we'll generate a list for you.
Okay, great. Yeah, do it. And then I'll report back in a week and I'll be with the checks.
I've got one for you, Rachel.
Yes.
Streak through the hotel.
Well, I don't know if anyone wants to see that.
Also might be dangerous in Indonesia.
Oh, yeah. It's a very conservative question. Yeah.
Okay, don't do that.
I'll come up with others for you.
Perfect.
And I know you were all presenters here, but you are also participants. Is there anything in particular you got out of this week?
Again? Oh, God.
What, I don't even know how to describe it.
So much. I mean, I feel like I've made at least 5 to 6 new close friends, you all being a couple of them. I'm very happy to have met you, yes. I also, just to give more kudos to Alan, Katie, you guys in your speech talked a lot about aligning your identity. You have to choose between your identity and your vision, mm-hmm. right? You can't really have both. And if those things are not the same, you either need to get them in alignment or choose which one you want. So like a good example, I'll share mine. So my vision, I have a very clear vision of the life partner that I'm looking for and the kind of relationship I'm looking for. My identity, I realized, and this was a first realization for me, so very helpful, is that sometimes I tell myself I'm undateable and that I travel too much or I'm too successful and it'll scare a guy off or something like that. So my identity is not aligned with my vision. I have to give up that identity to achieve that vision. So that was very powerful for me. I just wanted to give you guys another shout out. Thank you so much. I'm very moved by your presentations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. How about you guys? Any revelations from the few days?
Rachel asked an excellent question in her presentation, which was, if you were to swap bodies with someone that you cared about very deeply for a couple of months, how would you treat that body? Would you look after it, take it to the gym, do yoga, eat healthy salads, or would you trash it and eat junk food? And I think most of us would look after it. And then Rachel asked, well, why do you not do that for yourself, are you doing that for yourself? And I've had that in my mind over the last couple of days as I'm moving about, as I'm choosing which elements to take from the buffet, to think, am I looking after myself the way I would look after someone that I care about? Because really, I must care about myself because I'm the one that looks after myself. I found that very powerful. So thank you for that, Rachel.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's awesome.
I was mischievous and thought I'd get a naughty tattoo and then hand the ball back.
Who was your person?
You have all kinds of ideas.
Loads of ideas. But in all seriousness, from the retreat, I think the connection, the chatting to people, the spending time with people is something we just don't get to do. And in normal life, you can't talk freely about what's your vision of life or your finances without that judgment against the standard life plan. So just the comfort to be able to talk freely and openly about where you're heading, what you're doing, and your alignment issues, for want of a better word, has been wonderful.
Yeah. And for me, what I realized is that coming to these events, they're called financial independence retreats, right? But rarely are we talking about finances. We're talking about creating your best life.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think you can't come to enough of those events. You can come to enough events if all you're doing is sitting down and doing spreadsheets. But if you're truly trying to design your best life, these events are awesome. And I think we've all experienced that. And I do appreciate the three of you giving those presentations and helping us all think a little more deeply about that. And I look forward to seeing you guys in the future for sure. And so I do want to give each of you an opportunity to say, if you want people to connect with you or follow you, is there any way that people could do that?
Yes, absolutely. You can follow me on IG at Money Honey Rachel. And if you'd like to download my passive income starter kit, you can go to moneyhoneyrachel.com. I don't know if it's /or/ passive income. So that's helpful.
I'll put that in the show notes. So that'll be in the show notes. Yeah. And how about you guys?
I think one of the best ways, as far as I know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, we're one of the only people who've put a full financial independence course online for free.
Yeah.
So you can find that on YouTube. It's completely free. It's called Rebel Finance School.
And I will definitely put a link to that because I know how valuable that's been to tons of people. And if you want to tell us a little bit about some of the accolades you've received for that. And what was it, the king or something gave you, or the queen? I don't know exactly what it is, but let us know because people would be very intrigued to hear that. I was very floored about that.
We had an amazing letter that arrived that the Prime Minister has put us forward for a British Empire Medal. The king agreed. Yes,
that's
King Charles.
So cool.
Okay.
He agreed and said, yes, and in his birthday honours list, he honoured us with a British Empire Medal for services to financial education.
Wow.
So we got one each, which we have to go to the Tower of London in April to pick up. And then we've been invited to a royal garden party. I still can't believe I'm actually saying these things. It feels very surreal. Yeah. But yeah, so that's a big recognition.
Yeah, people definitely appreciate what you do and it shows. So yeah.
That's amazing.
It's the blessing of financial independence that once you're free of compulsory work, you can turn yourself to things that you really want to do. And we're like, let's just do something and give it away because we don't need to, just like you do with the podcast, just like what you're doing with the free passive income generator, you just give it away and go, we want to help people. And I've got enough money for Lego and almond croissants. I need less almond croissants in my life. So I'm going to spend more time helping people, less time eating.
Awesome. And if there's any other communication method you want to mention, feel free to do that.
Well, the other thing that people might be interested in is the Extraordinary Life course.
We're planning a new version of the Extraordinary Life course. We're going to give it away. We haven't exactly decided the format, but it will be a completely updated version and will include the presentations
awesome.
That you've seen here. And we're just going to give it away to the world to help as many people as possible. And that will be coming up on the Rebel Donegan's website.
And I will put all those links in the show notes so you can look for that. Well, thank you all for coming and doing this. I know we have a dinner shortly, so I want to make sure we make that because the party continues. It's just been great to get to know all three of you much better. I think our paths have crossed a little bit, but not to this degree. So
not properly.
This is exactly why I come to these events. Yeah, it's awesome. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people find the content in their podcast players. If you would like me to answer a question on the show, please send it to mark@marksmoneymind.com. And put podcast question in the subject line. Let me know your first name, or let me know if you would like to remain anonymous, and also your state of residence if you choose. I would also appreciate it if you would recommend this show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next week on the Mark's Money Mind show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. And now for the all-important disclaimer. This show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.